welcome to the show. It's the best podcast that we know. We are glad to have you here. Let our voices massage your ears. It's free and it's online. It's an hour of your time. So welcome to the Brother Stream Show. Welcome to the Brother Stream Show.
Hello.
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 Well, we're the Brother Streep. I'm Simon Streep.
I'm Dill Streep.
I'm Andrew.
Today, we're going to be coming to you from a different place.
It's a brand new place, a brand new environment. It's episode 3, and we thought, let's change it up.
Let's put us in a studio.
We're actually in a studio.
A legitimate studio. Now, don't think that because we're in a studio, that all of a sudden this is going to up the quality of the podcast.
What, the content?
Yeah, no, it's going to be... If anything, the content might drop,
right.
I think.
Well, I can't see the mountain from here, no. So I don't know what's going to happen to my sketch show.
I can't even actually see Andrew from here. There's literally a big like wooden pillar in between me and Andrew.
Yeah.
Wait, there he is.
Can we got him through the control room window.
That's very good.
You see, what we've done is we've sat in a studio, but I'm literally sitting in the door frame between where you would usually close off the vocal booth from the control room. So I don't think we're optimizing the studio to its full potential.
We've made it sound very fancy that we're sitting in a studio, and in actual fact, it's very disruptive.
What's it like being in the sound booth there, Andrew?
Well, my voice has never sounded better in my own ears. I have no reverberation.
Yeah.
And I can't see Simon.
It's like being
it's
in
great.
Space.
I should warn you, Andrew, because you are the most in the sound booth area, it gets very hot in there. So by the end of this hour, you probably will have lost a couple of kilos from sweating it all out.
It's true.
That's okay. I need to lose a few.
I don't think you do, Andrew. I think if you lose a few, you're going to be not only the tallest but thinnest man in the world.
I'm going for two records.
It's not ideal.
Have you seen those rooms that they've got... sound absorbers such that the sound level is minus 100 dB or something crazy, and they say people can only stand like 15 minutes in it because it's so quiet.
They don't like being with their thoughts.
Yeah, they start going like insane. So weird.
Yeah, like you stand 15 minutes and then there's like a thing that you can open that has like a straitjacket in, and you put yourself in the straitjacket and go to sleep.
Well, I guess this is it for me now.
Yeah, been here too long. So is everyone doing well?
Yeah, very well.
Not bad.
Andrew, you doing good there?
Yeah, no, I'm good. And today, as I was driving here, guess what?
Not a motorbike thing.
Another flying V.
Really?
Except this time I was in the middle and my bike was definitely the slowest.
So it's more like
it was like a backwards V, yeah.
Okay. So you were the leader. You're actually the leader.
That's He's a true mean. Leader. He led from
led
the,
from behind.
Okay.
Well done. What a strategist.
Yeah.
That is amazing.
Have you guys have box graters at home, right? The standard box grater?
Yeah.
Or do you have the one panel?
No.
That you awkwardly try hold over a bowl. It's impossible to use.
I have the four panel, but you only ever really use one of the four panels.
So now I needed to grate something yesterday. Cheese, if you must know.
Thanks for the context.
And I reached for the grater and the kind of normal side, as you say, the one side you use had been used and I didn't really feel like cleaning it.
Okay. Yeah, because so sometimes the cheese can just like, it becomes part of the grater. It's almost like it's, you know, it infuses with the metal and it creates its own kind of different flavor and different shape that you can get if you don't wash it long enough. I'm not recommending you do that. It can happen.
The space in the middle of the box gets smaller and smaller. The more cheese kind of sticks to it. So I decided to use the like... massive oversized grater side. Have you seen this side? It looks like a joke. It's
you
like they
just,
made a grater and
one.
Then they thought, cool, we'll have a novelty side on this side. It's like it's crazy. Like literally this is a PSA, an announcement of warning. Three grates in, I was already almost through a block of cheese. It's mad. You like go, if you're not looking, you will run out of your cheese very quickly. They come out in these like long, thick strips of like whole new blocks of cheese, basically.
I think, to be honest, and I know you probably have thought of this, but just to be the voice of reason for a change, it's probably not meant for cheese, that one. It's probably meant for like bread or something.
Bread.
Bread.
You had me for a second.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, the voice of reason.
Well, anyway, so if you are planning on making a lasagna, but you don't want to use up all your cheese, just grate with caution if you're going to use the massive side.
My wife's dad went to some sort of culture cheese club thing.
Oh, yes.
In town
culture club.
That's the one. And he brought back like loads of cheese for him and us. And then he was going to take... you know, a good portion of this cheese home with him because he doesn't live in Cape Town. And then he left, and he left all the cheese with us.
All of the cheese.
So now we have way too much cheese. I know that sounds like a good thing.
Yeah.
But I generally think that I was sick the other day because I ate pretty much so much cheese.
Sick from cheese.
Yeah, it was, I mean.
So it wasn't dodgy cheese. It was just the amount that you consumed.
I did consume an awful lot of fancy cheese. And my body's not built for fancy cheese. It's built for cheddar. When you throw other things at it, it's like, whoa.
Mature cheddar. No.
Immature cheddar, please.
Maybe it's like alcohol. You just shouldn't mix your cheeses. If you stuck to one fancy cheese throughout the night, you've been fine. Glass of water at the end. It's all good.
That is so, so. So true.
I watched some pretty bad films in the last week.
Okay.
It was the week of bad films. I will start with one, Ted 2.
Ted 2, okay.
Now, you and I watched Ted 1, Ted as it was called back then. And I remember quite enjoying it.
It wasn't terrible.
No, it wasn't terrible. This was terrible.
Okay.
This was utterly terrible. It wasn't funny. They actually tried to make it more kind of like Family Guy with cutaways and things, which just didn't work for me at all. I think the cutaways in Family Guy have stopped working in the last maybe 8 seasons or so.
Yeah. It feels like Family Guy is just like, it's going strong and they haven't realized that no one's caring.
It does so strange.
Most people seem to not be watching it anymore, have moved on, and they're just like, no, it's still great, more seasons.
Well, the problem with Family Guy, and it's quite a minute thing to point out, but I remember in the early days when it was still like fresh, they would say the joke and then you'd get a cutaway that was like a different kind of element to the joke.
Mm.
And from what I've seen recently, because I stumble upon Family Guy from now and then, they seem to tell the joke and then do the cutaway doing that exact joke. So it's like, doesn't really make sense. You'd think like either allude to the thing and then do the cutaway and we all go, oh, that's what they meant. Yeah. Aha. But yeah, they're just kind of rehashing their own jokes instantly in the show. It's quite strange. But anyway, so Ted 2.
You missed this joke. Here it is again. Retweet.
So odd. So Ted 2, not great. There's a scene where they're in a courtroom, and it literally plays out for ages, this courtroom drama thing. And I'm thinking, like, isn't this the guy who did Family Guy? Isn't this meant to be funny? Like, I know there were parts that were meant to be funny earlier, but now it's been about 20 minutes. So you're having this extended court case that's like kind of gotten for forced pathos. You meant to care, but it's really just a bear who somehow came to life. Like, let's not forget the premise of this stupid film. We meant to care because he's like trying to get at human rights because, like, I don't know, he's lost his dignity or something. Oh, I couldn't finish it, and I think that's maybe about the 7th movie in my life that I've not finished.
Okay,
how would you change the story to make it better?
I wouldn't have done a second one. I think there's too many second ones happening at this stage.
Okay.
It wasn't good enough to go, that definitely needs another one.
In fact,
in the first one, the whole thing was that this kid did magic. You know, he made one of these wishes and then the bear comes to life and you have to kind of suspend your disbelief and go, that's fine. He made the wish and he came to life and now the movie plays out and that's quite funny. But then in the first one, I remember he died and then Mila Kunis's character did a similar wish and he came back to life. Like, is this a thing that you can just do? It kind of takes the magic out of the fact that he came to life in the first place.
Yeah.
Anyway, so maybe I wouldn't have made the first one either.
If only the kid had just wished the second one didn't exist.
Yeah.
Then we would be in a better place.
Yeah. So that's what I did. We also took part in a panel show.
Oh, yeah. We did that. A comedy history quiz style panel show.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Andrew, because you're normally in it, and we kind of feel like we just really hijacked something that you do.
No, not at all.
Was it okay? Are people behind the scenes going, oh, they should leave those Brothers Streep out of that? It's not like their podcast.
Yeah, what did you guys say once we left?
So we fired all the people from behind the scenes. To be honest, we haven't spoken at all.
Okay, so we killed the panel show.
No, yeah. No, not at all. You guys are amazing.
Let's never speak of this again. Situation.
So for those who don't know, it's called All's Well That Ends Well, and it's hosted by MJ Phillip. And
sorry, Andrew, I have to stop you. Yeah. You can't advertise other projects you're involved with
and
on our podcast.
You can book at the Alexander Bar for a future show which doesn't exist yet. So we had the Brothers Streep on. And they were fantastic. You guys played a song at the beginning. You really got the crowd warmed up.
Oh, thanks, man.
Which was good, which really helped.
I've always wanted to do a joke, and I've always wondered whether it would actually go down well or whether everyone would be like, that is so lame. But where you go, like, I've come to warm up the crowd, and you start throwing out, like, jerseys and blankets and that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
and
like, go give them a little hug.
Yeah, I think, I mean, would that work? If we had done that way of warming up the crowd, do you think that would have been better than playing a song?
I get the feeling that Cape Town audiences will groan at you.
Based on how not warm they appeared after our song, I think maybe we should have just abandoned the guitars. But the show was really fun. I really enjoyed it. I've watched countless amounts of panel shows, and it was good to be on one of them. It's interesting, that sense of like trying to get your little bit across.
Yeah,
you've got something to say. There were a couple of moments where I went, I missed it. And then you think, after like, you know, two or three spin-offs of somebody's anecdotes, and you think, can I really come back with a joke now?
Yeah.
Or will everyone go, what on earth is the setup for that? I forgot it. It was 20 minutes ago.
Yeah, it's a tough one, because all the good ideas tend to come when everyone else has good ideas.
Yeah.
And then you're just completely blank when there's a moment of silence.
It's just, yeah, it's fun tightrope to walk.
I thought I was seated close to the host. So I felt like I could get away more with interrupting. It might just be like, oh, he's the host now. Fair enough. You can say this kind of stuff.
Slowly move yourself into the center of the stage.
No, I'd never do that to MJ. He's really good at his history stuff. He knows his things.
He does. Really, he doesn't even have the QI elves in his ear.
Yeah.
No, he's very knowledgeable.
He's just got a PowerPoint he made. not quite a QI elf.
Anyway. There was a moment, sorry, in that show where I think one of the questions was, who is our last queen of South Africa or something like that? And then somebody made a joke about Nathaniel. And I had this moment of devil and angel on the shoulder going, come on, you can do a voice like sort of like Nathaniel. You've done it in the past. This is the perfect time. And the angel went, no, there's 40 people you don't know listening. This isn't the time to break it out. But I thought, you know, that can kind of lead us nicely into my first round for the day, hit and miss impressions.
Impressions.
It was a genuine regret, actually. I had a moment there, and I let it pass.
I was sitting there in anticipation of you doing it. I was like, oh, awesome. Cue Dylan doing his Nathaniel. I didn't realize
I made the Nathaniel joke so that you could do your impression.
Andrew, you set them up, and I failed to knock them down. I mean, the thing is, we were just looking for South Africa's greatest butter voice. That's all I got.
That's good. I mean, that would have killed. It's a very good impression.
Don't you think he sounds quite a lot like Timothy Treadle? I used to watch a bit of Kiddio, and there was that Timothy Treadle, which we've later found out was Solly Philander inside, and he's not Nathaniel.
No.
Couldn't be further from the truth. One has long hair, one doesn't have any hair. That's the only differences.
I do want to know, and we kind of touched on this on the panel show, but we didn't really get time to expand on it, is, do you think there is some intentional innuendo going on there with the Boerewors and getting Nathaniel to do it?
Ach, yeah, nah.
I think Nathaniel is just an intentional innuendo.
Yeah. You think no matter whatever he was advertising, you could be advertising cheese and still be like, ooh, should I smear this cheese over my body?
Yeah. Well, the thing about him is that he looks kind of, the more I see him on TV, the more he seems to be overly make-upped. Okay. I'm sure he's great in person. I've never seen him in person, but on TV, he kind of looks like an android to me. He reminds me of a character from Empire Strikes Back, surprise, surprise, called Lobot. And so maybe he was created in a lab by some scientists who went, look, we need a guy who can sell anything. And one of them kind of went, I'm going to put some of my innuendos in here. And typed in like a list of innuendos, press send, and it all kind of fed into his little brain.
I'm little brain. I'm hoping that they remake the movie Powder with him as a main guy. Or at least I remember in Fringe, they had those people that pretty much looked like Nathaniel. Imagine if the, I don't know what they're called, the observers in Fringe were Nathaniel.
How would that sound?
How would that sound? Yeah. I don't know, Dylan. You...
Ach, and I'm observing things in French.
That's very good.
Nathaniel sort of looks like one of the guys in Mad Max, except except he'd be he wouldn't be like repairing cars or like spearing stuff. He would just be in the background, kind of making the sandwiches for their expedition.
Yeah. But seeing as this is Hit and Miss Impressions, I thought we could finally let Andrew take the stage to his Yoda.
Okay.
Because for years now, I've been hearing about Andrew's Yoda impression.
Have you?
Yeah.
Really?
I have, really.
It's like, on the internet, everyone genuinely is talking about it.
I'm going to do this, even though you know that I can't do a Yoda impression.
Well, I believe there is no do or do not. There is only try.
That was, now you've stolen the line. I was going to
Damn it.
only one I can remember.
Cut it away.
Do or do not. There is no try.
Points for the quote.
Yeah, so that was a misimpression.
That was good, right?
Yeah, it was quite good. I believe you haven't even seen any of it.
No, I've seen a few, but many years ago.
Okay. How's your Miss Piggy? Because if you can do Yoda, you should surely be able to do Miss Piggy. that's probably broken our sound system, but it's good. I like it. We'll leave that in. It's very good.
Simon, what have you got up your sleeve?
Oh, Kermit.
Oh, hello.
Very good. Okay, and I'll be Kermit from another movie.
Okay.
There's magic in the air tonight. There's magic everywhere.
Oh, shut up.
No, that didn't happen.
That's Piggy with a sore throat.
Yeah.
It's quite good.
Those are all lovely misimpressions.
I think my voice is hoarse because I was, really going through the motions on the motorbike.
Or maybe just making the sound of a motorbike while you were riding it. You know that you don't have to make the sound of a motorbike.
You must do, though. Surely you do.
Every now and again.
If I was on a motorbike, I mean, when I, sit on a chair sometimes, I'll make the sound of a motorbike. If I had a real motorbike, I'd be going nuts.
I thought you were going to say, I make the sound of a chair. I think most people, when they sit in a chair, make the sound of a chair, and that they don't say anything.
Yeah.
Much like a chair. Anyway, I want to know what's trending.
Go tell your friends, the Brothers Street are trending.
Right, so the Brothers Street are trending is a round where we look at what's trending on Twitter. And what do you think is trending on Twitter, guys?
Trending on Twitter today.
Yeah. Well, isn't it Thanksgiving tomorrow? So there could be some sort of...
You got it.
Hashtag Thanksgiving.
Oh, it's happy Thanksgiving Eve.
Ooh.
So now people are saying happy Thanksgiving tomorrow.
Why are people celebrating Thanksgiving Eve?
I don't know. People like the anticipation.
What do you guys do on Christmas Eve? Do you do anything?
Traditionally, I don't, but I did date someone before that did something on the Christmas Eve. That was their big thing, which I've always found
instead
that concept.
Instead of Christmas Day?
Yeah, I've always found that concept weird.
You're not allowed presents on Christmas Eve.
Worse.
Yeah, but a lot of people genuinely do, like, the Christmas Eve thing is that's when they do their thing, and then Christmas Day is all about just sleeping, it seems.
That has got to be the lamest tradition I've ever heard of.
It's not, look, it's not great. I don't feel it's the right way to do it. I think it makes sense.
Did this drive you out of this relationship?
Should have. If it was the kind of thing where perhaps... It's like kind of huffle. Like, so if Christine's parents actually lived in Cape Town, that would be quite nice if the one family did Christmas Day.
Yeah.
The family did Christmas Day. But if you're not doing it for that kind of reason, your family just has a tradition of doing it on Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
Bollocks.
Plus, still, then you're trying to kind of convince the family to have a lesser Christmas because your family is having a good Christmas on Christmas Day.
It's a good point.
It's just quite hard to get right.
And also, it's very difficult to explain to the kids how Santa has magically made the presents appear the night before Christmas.
That's a good point. I think, I'm imagining, and this is serious more than funny, but I think the tradition probably is because, I know, in the Catholics like to do a midnight mass, and so maybe it's like you do your big dinner, then you build up to go into church at midnight, and that means that by the time it's actual Christmas Day, you really are genuinely like sleepy because of all the communion you ate.
But after,
full up on the body of Christ
after a big meal on Christmas Eve day, you'd not be able to stay up for midnight mass.
That's true.
I've not been to one, and so call me naive, but is it at midnight?
I think it ends at midnight. I think it doesn't start at midnight.
I hate when I go over to one and the doors have just closed.
Yeah. I prefer midnight maths, where I just get together with some friends and we do sums around about midnight on the night before Christmas.
Christmassy sums.
It's really
like
good.
Joseph plus Mary equals Jesus.
Yeah. If there are 70 elves making 70 toys at 70 hours per minute.
Yeah.
So obviously this comes out on a Monday and we're talking about Thanksgiving, so Thanksgiving has come and gone.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to hear that it was at least trending in the world. That's very exciting to hear. And I'm hoping that this this Friday, or last Friday for the listeners, that Black Friday will reveal some specials, because that's an American tradition that seems to be seeping through into Africa. Yeah.
Has that come up again?
I don't know. I've got to wait. I've got to find and see if it has.
Are you just assuming a particular Friday might be a Black Friday, or is it always the Friday after Thanksgiving?
It's always a Friday after Thanksgiving where things are like crazy in America cheap. Yeah. And I'm hoping that Take A Lot will pretty much go, add whatever you want into your cart.
Yeah.
And we'll just ship it to you.
It's the second time we've spoken about Take A Lot.
Yeah, we really should get some money from
Take
A Lot. You
know, they're really good. They sent me a nice little speaker, and they said it was going to come on the Tuesday, and it came on the Monday.
That is brilliant.
And was set speaker, your expectations.
Was the speaker wrapped in something the size of...
It was wrapped in those giant bubble wraps. It doesn't make any sense.
So great.
Actually, it was kind of loose in there. It was weird.
Someone at work today received two identical items in separate deliveries in different packages.
And what did they do?
That was That's just the end of my boring story.
It's a good story if they kept them both.
Yeah, they kept them both. No,
it's a terrible story. Send one back.
No.
Andrew, you've revealed yourself.
No, he ordered two things. He ordered two of the same thing.
He ordered two of the same
thing. That's fair play, I guess.
Sorry, I thought you said he ordered one thing.
He's not a villain.
And he got two things.
No.
You know.
Is there anything else trending that we should know about?
Well, there's something suspicious which is trending.
suspicious.
Is it the Zoolander 2 trailer?
No, it says Civil War.
Oh, I
know what that is.
Do you know what this is? Because I looked at it and I thought... It's a bit late.
Or there might be one happening that we don't know about.
It's true.
It's a fantastic trailer for the upcoming...
I haven't seen it.
Iron Man film.
No, isn't it the Captain America
film, sorry. Yeah.
Which is what I've discovered. I didn't know. I'm very excited. I like Captain America.
Yeah.
But it doesn't look very civil.
No.
They weren't very nice to each other in the trailer.
More war than civil, yeah.
Yeah, so that's interesting as
well. Very exciting. Little shot of Black Panther. We haven't seen him on the big screen yet. What's that?
That's my Panther impression. Sorry.
Please leave that for impressions.
Okay.
But if you must know, it was a mess.
What's also nice is that I'm assuming, because this is coming out on Monday and people are going to be listening to it on Monday, and they're going to know without a shadow of a doubt that the next day, hashtag Banter Clause is going to be trending, because we in the studio, because we are recording a song tonight all about Banter Clause.
Which you can listen to at the end of this podcast.
Yeah, so
as a special treat.
It's about 22-ish minutes in, and I know you've got to sit another, I don't know, 40 minutes in to hear this thing.
Yeah.
But it's
going to be worth it.
It is so worth it.
Remember that one time we podcasted and put Walt Disney at the end of a podcast?
Yeah.
And that song's huge.
Yeah.
So look out for Banter Clause.
So you can hear it like 24 hours before other people if you sit through this hour of nonsense. it's a great deal. Well, I just really think that civil war's trending. Obviously, the world's suffering.
Mm.
Maybe we should be doing something to save it.
Who's gonna save you? Who's gonna save you? The Brother Street save the world.
So this is a very important section of our show where we try to give back to the community that has so blessed us with their love and affection. And
what?
Oh, I don't know. One day, maybe. One day we'll be blessed by love and affection. But for now, we're still going to give back to the world. Because, I mean, this podcast uses power.
Yeah.
And we're running out of power. So we have to somehow give back somewhere. So in this section, we take a topic that is currently making the world a worse place.
Mm.
And we're going to solve it. And right now, there's no better topical thing to talk about than the drought we're currently going through, especially in certain parts of South Africa. How are we going to solve the problem with the drought? Anyone got any tips or ideas?
I've got an idea. It's to do with toilets.
Okay.
You know, they tell you that you can put a brick in like the cistern and then it fills up a bit less because we don't need all that like fresh running water.
You can also put a poo in there.
Yeah, well, that's what I meant by a brick. You can you don't need all that fresh water to flush away the stuff. But I'm saying you don't need fresh water at all.
Okay.
Why do we need to be flushing our toilets with fresh water? Nobody's going in afterwards and going, cool, I'm going to have a swim in there now.
All right.
Now that it's all clean. So instead of even just using dirty water, because that's water still, urine.
That's a good idea.
We pee into a tank.
Yeah.
The tank fills the cistern until you need to do twos.
Mm-hmm.
And you flush it with urine. Andrew, you're wincing.
Man,
I think this is
phenomenal idea.
I think though, if we could train our bodies,
right?
Because let's be honest, what often happens is you go, you go to do number two, but you do end up weeing first.
Sure.
You do the wee, you then do the number two.
I think it's physically impossible to not.
Well,
that's what I've heard.
If we can train our bodies to do it the other way
Bring
around.
Bring that up on true or false in another week.
What we could do is we could do the number two.
Right.
And then just work really hard at getting enough pressure from our wee to wash the number two down.
Dear.
My invention comes with a catchy phrase.
Good.
You know the old, if it's mellow, yellow, let it mellow. This one, slightly less catchy. If it's yellow, hang on to it for a bit, because it could be used to flush down the brown later.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, you can see that on the toilet door in crochet.
I mean, I'm in.
That's one idea.
Okay. Well,
another is to simply have dogs lick your plates instead of washing them with water.
But what about humans licking their own plates?
Not as good.
Why not?
People
why not
always
as good?
Say, "Oh, dog's mouth is actually really clean. It's not that." I haven't looked it up, but I've heard the words been thrown around that you could entertain in a dog's mouth or something like that.
What?
I mean, sure, maybe the words were thrown together by a random word generator, but the words have still been thrown out there. And if a dog's mouth is that clean, then they can just lick up plates, no need for water.
I do lick
my... I prefer
my
the urine idea, really, but both look good.
I do lick my plates already, I think. Well, I mean, not to clean them. I still wash them. But and I can't do it in public yet. I don't think I'm allowed to.
Do you mean yet?
Well, because I don't think society...
The older you get, it's not going to get better.
No, well, I don't... You know, society might change eventually and be like, okay, cool, we're happy for this to happen. But definitely at home, when no one's looking, it's only my wife, I will give that plate a good lick to get up all the sauce.
Okay.
I don't want that sauce to go to waste. I know we're trying to save water here, not sauce, but sauce is important too, and it's also kind of liquid, so I think we should be doing both.
Okay.
Andrew?
My invention is really going to come in handy for Dylan's original idea.
Okay.
But that was not what I had in mind when I invented it. It's called the nose rose. And what it is, it's a small moustache-sized pad that you basically just attach under your nose and around your ears, sort of like one of those mouth guards that you see people to avoid the flu. And you just never shower again. And no one ever showers ever again. And you just smell roses. Or, you know, you can swap it out. You can smell whatever you want. And in future generations, we'll have smart technology under there, which can give you a scent that you desire.
I mean,
I like the idea. It kind of conjures up pictures of Hitler moustache for me.
Oh, it doesn't. No, I was thinking more of kind of, you know, you could match it to your moustache color or your skin tone or whatever, so that it's not so obtrusive.
Okay.
You could even paint two little nostrils on so that it doesn't look too weird.
Is the human body like hair? Like, because hair, apparently, if you stop washing, it starts washing itself. I mean, it still sounds gross, and I still don't think that's true.
Yeah, I've been trying that for a while.
But does the body do that?
With the nose rose, you could maybe make it, let's say, 4 weeks without a shower if everyone had a nose rose.
All right.
So everyone needs one.
Everyone needs,
world.
Yeah, because you all are going to stink.
What if we ended up instituting this, and the amount of money, or at least the cost in the environment of making the nose rose was so great that we actually would have, in hindsight, been like, we could have done with less water.
One problem at a time, son.
I just don't want to create a solution and create another problem.
Look, I mean, you know, what do you want? Do you want a world full of water and maybe some landfills full of nose roses?
Maybe
or
all we
no
need,
water?
Maybe all we need is problems that we can foresee actually fixing. So if we make a problem, then we can go, well, we can actually fix this one, and then morale will go up.
Okay.
And that's actually all we need is a bit of a morale boost, and the earth will be fine.
Oh, your toilet is going to stink.
Why?
It's going to smell of pee.
No, it's not.
It's going to be
horrible.
You're
flushing down with the pee.
No, and it's being replaced with pee.
Yeah.
So
but it's freshly moved. Pee only starts to smell when it stagnates.
No. Pee smells from day one.
Yeah, well, okay, fine. Maybe everyone has to have asparagus all the time, so at least it smells like something.
Consistent.
That'd be worse.
That is a potent smell, I tell you what.
Okay, well, I haven't really been able to solve the problem. I thought about it throughout the day, obviously.
Right.
And I feel like what I have to bring to the table is just really, it's like the starfish thing. Mm. Like, you're going to look at me now and go, Simon, that's just like throwing one starfish back into the ocean. What about the other million? And I'm going to have to just be like, whatever, because still...
I'm not sure. I'm sure the moral of that story was a bit more eloquent.
Yeah, it didn't even make a difference to that starfish.
But I mean, So I'm just thinking that when you make pasta, you need water to boil the pasta in. And when you also make pasta, often the sauce will contain onions. So if you just get really good at harvesting your tears, you can use some of those droplets in the pasta. And you know you're going, but Simon, tears are a bit salty. And that's perfect.
Yeah, that is perfect. Yeah. Too many people don't salt their pasta water enough.
Yeah.
Tears automatically salted.
So I know that this is very marginal amounts. I think you're going to be saving maybe 10 mils like... a time you make pasta,
You're just adding the tears to water.
Yeah.
What if you did this enough that you could do a pasta out of an entirely tears pot?
That's a buttload of onions you'd have to peel, though.
Yeah.
I think we wouldn't really be able to do that.
Okay, so it is just a tiny little fragment of change. Yeah.
But every bit counts, man. Every bit counts. I'm just saying.
Every tear counts.
Every starfish counts. So we saved the world there.
done.
With a collection of all three ideas. Maybe Dill's more so than mine, for example.
I just like that you decided that mine would stink, whereas the alternative in the world where the mine has rolled out is number two is just lying around. Surely you'd rather the urine smell.
I'd rather have neither with my nose rose.
No. Oh, yeah. The nose rose is good.
Fair enough.
Switch flop.
It's time for switch flop. In this game, the brothers will be pitted against one another. And I will give them a topic to argue.
Mm.
And if I say switch, then they have to change which brother is speaking. And if I say flop, they change their opinion.
Sounds complicated. Does it explain itself as you play?
Absolutely.
Hooray!
Okay, so the first argument that I'm going to say are planes are better than trains. As in aeroplanes.
Gotcha.
And... Dylan,
yeah,
you're going to kick us off. You think planes are better than trains.
Well, that's true. I do think planes are better than trains for a number of reasons. The first one of which is that they are so much bigger.
Flop.
And that is a problem because that means that they take a lot more fuel. And the cost of the ticket obviously comes into play.
Switch.
Trains are just safer, really, because you can't... If you fall out of a train...
Flop.
You're alive, but you're very angry. Whereas you don't often hear people falling out of planes. That hardly ever happens.
Flop.
But if, as I was saying, if you fall out of a train, you probably will survive. Whereas if you fall out of a plane, you'll definitely die. So if you fall out of a train, you get up, you get just back into the carriage and you go again, and that's fine. It's just part of the journey.
Switch.
It's
like
everyone loves a good journey, but they love to do it on a train. I'll tell you why. Yeah. Because trains have better food.
Flop.
Which is actually not the case at all. What am I talking about? I was on a plane recently and the food was amazing. They said it was 5-star cuisine. I can't actually believe that for a second because it's a tiny little piece of chicken.
I mean, the chicken was tiny, but in the plane, the chicken's huge. It's like taking up the whole compartment. It's like, oh my gosh, why is this chicken so big? I just can't have, I don't have leg room and now I've got this chicken on me.
And on a train, you'd be much better off without the chicken. You'd just have a nice little sandwich and they come around on a cart and everyone's happier on a plane. Because I think I came in wrong there.
Nice.
What do you think, Andrew? Do you think we argued it?
I think you did. I think Dylan won that one.
Yay! Nice.
Well, I mean, he came in wrong at the end there. Simon got it right the whole time. Just weird that you wouldn't give him points. I'm just saying.
Well, Simon, you have a chance to redeem yourself.
Oh, do I? Yeah. Because I really feel a bias towards Dylan.
Well, okay. Well, now your opportunity is to argue in favor of comedy over drama.
Okay.
You can start.
Can I?
Yeah.
All right. Now, comedy... is clearly funnier than drama. Comedy really increases serotonin, which is which is a thing I've made up now.
Flop. But it
definitely doesn't exist, which is why I watch drama, because I don't want any of this silly buggery about fake hormones and everything. Switch. I just want things serious.
As do I. I find that comedy is actually a waste of...
switch.
Just thought there'd be something funny for me to say there, but there isn't.
Comedy is a waste of nobody's time. Comedy is the best. You never hear someone going, oh, I watched a really rad drama, it really made my day better, I feel so excited, it was so funny. No, you hear people going, I watched Grey's Anatomy and a Chinese chick flop. Cried for ages, which is hilarious.
Switch.
I don't know what I'm doing.
When things are hilarious, you get better levels of Sarah McBurman in your head. And I think that that's a better place to be, because flop. Too much drama, there's no such thing as too much drama, really. It makes you look inwards at yourself, and it makes you ask the real questions, like, why am I crying?
Switch.
Why
does life exist? And you hear those flop. Questions and you benefit from it until you realize you're depressed. And that's why you just need some comedy. I think they should take all the dramas and turn them into comedy. So House of Cards should be House of Parks and Recreation.
Switch.
That other comedy drama should be a comedy. Switch. That I can't remember.
So, you know, I don't know, Modern Family should stay Modern Family. And they should make Law and Order, like, I don't know, Law of Martin Lawrence and Eddie Murphy, because they're hilarious.
Okay, well, that was Simon definitely won that one.
It's fine. I fell off the train.
I kind of feel bad for saying that Martin Lawrence is hilarious, because he's not. He really should just be doing drama.
Yeah.
Because you do often come out of his movies more depressed than you go into them.
I don't go into them.
You've won there. So, has anyone played tennis recently?
Why would you ask that?
Well, I've
do been, you play?
I played a couple of months ago. We were fortunate enough to go to a little game lodge, and they had a tennis court outside, and it was lots of fun playing, because you'd kind of play a bit of tennis and then you would see like a bit of buck, or whatever they were called. They weren't called buck. What were they called?
Just buck, just kind of the all-encompassing term for them.
Yeah, well,
kudu, other things,
something. I know that that's not what they're called.
Other buck are available.
Yeah, there was some kind of, they were like speciality buck, but I don't know what they were. Anyway, they were there, and it was just really nice. I felt like if I'm going to play tennis, I want to play tennis where I can kind of hit an ace, obviously, and then see a little bit of wildlife.
Yeah, I played some tennis recently.
Okay,
like 2 weeks ago. Or a week ago. It depends when you're listening to this, actually.
Yeah.
My service is terrible. Really? Are you any good? No, you're not. I saw you play.
No, I'm not. Are you any good? That's not fair.
No, I'm
at
bad.
A serve.
My service is pretty good.
I don't remember.
I think
that.
I start well. It's more hitting the ball back once the person's hit it to me than I struggle with.
Okay. I just assume maybe it's because you're both tall people. Like, you have to, there's such a strange move. I can't figure it out. I'm throwing the ball up. I've seen it on TV. I've played it on Nintendo Entertainment System. You know, throw the ball up, leap up, smack it. It's gone over the fence.
Okay.
It's gone straight into the ground. And everyone goes, well, so you just got to get that height. And, you know, I just don't have that height. That's why I'm jumping around like a lunatic. But, you know, it's pretty difficult when you can't serve.
Do you know what it could be?
Tell me.
You could be on Telcom. Maybe that's why your service is terrible.
Hey!
Hey, there's a little joke there.
He's done it.
I made a little joke for everyone to enjoy. Now, what you could do, if you're not really enjoying the tennis,
yeah,
is tennis, like, can a tennis court can be turned into just like a small little high jump.
Okay.
That you can, and I'm sure you'll be able to make it over that net.
Yeah, that's the kind of thing you do when you run up and like smack it down at the net and then jump over, because you've got too much pace. And to run into it would kind of spring out, and then you'd go flying back like a wrestling ring in Animaniacs.
Oh, they should add wrestling rings around tennis courts.
Yeah.
So that would be good.
Or they should make the round tennis courts.
Yeah.
With a constantly rotating net through the middle. It would be very impossible. What was strange about playing tennis is that I found that, like, I'm not the fittest guy. I'm trying to run a bit. But yeah. I was very, very stiff in certain areas. And I was stiff in the area that you get stiff when you've sat on a bicycle and ridden around for a long time.
That's weird.
And, you know, like, if you've ridden a bike and then you think, oh, this is fine. And then the next day you get on the same bike and you go, whoa, hello.
Mm.
I felt that kind of stiffness. Now, I was not on a bicycle at any point in the tennis match. This much I can promise.
Yeah, I'm sure you would have remembered that.
But I was
also, you would have been told that's not in the rules at all.
But I was part of this new round tennis court thing. You kind of ride around and jump over the net.
With this game that you were playing, I just want to know why I was not invited to join.
Because it was on a Sunday, and I know that you fast on a Sunday.
Yeah, I could have broken my tennis fast on a Sunday.
No active physical sports on a Sunday. That's always been your thing.
I feel like I should be really good at tennis because of my love for tennis biscuits. Right. There should be by now a correlation. They should put something in the biscuits that make you better at tennis. Otherwise, what's the point?
What could they possibly put in a tennis biscuit that make you better at tennis?
Steroids and coordination.
Serotonin of them. Coordination. So yeah, that would be nice. Yeah.
Did you get...
All I want for Christmas is my coordination.
I've been trying to make my own gear for tennis.
Yeah.
But the neighbors keep complaining because I'm making a racket.
Hey!
It's just like, gotta keep them coming.
I feel like we need some kind of a noise for when these kind of jokes come out. Almost like the klaxon of QI.
There's no symbol.
So you play tennis, obviously, from time to time. Do you ever watch tennis?
I watch when it's on. Wow, okay. That's such a silly thing to say. more than I watch.
Yeah, okay.
But if there is some on and I'm doing nothing else, right, I'll watch it.
So do you know enough to have like a favorite tennis player?
Oh, the Joker.
Who's the Joker?
The D is silent.
Are you sure he's in tennis? Isn't he in Batman?
Yeah.
Have you not gotten confused between Wimbledon
and cricket? And the Batman.
What? You didn't do the "Hey, I'm making a pun."
Sorry, voice.
Didn't realize. I should have been more.
I was always a Sampras fan.
Okay, Sampras fan.
Yeah, the old tongue out.
I liked the idea of Boris Becker, just because it seemed like, you know, he was the bad boy of tennis and was like, he's like the Gordon Ramsay of the tennis court or whatever.
I think you're thinking about John McEnroe.
Am I?
Yeah.
Okay. I like the idea of John McEnroe. Yeah. Boris Becker, rubbish. So I'm just playing my own personal switch flop here. Now, I don't really know enough about tennis. I would probably be able to name like 5 tennis players and then that's about it. Okay. Can I use Pete Sampras,
no,
Boris Becker?
No,
okay,
ones cool. that have been said.
Right. Andre Agassi.
God.
I was going to say Kate Hudson. No, the chick, she's like a Serena Williams.
Got it.
Isn't there another Williams?
Possibly.
Virginia Williams or something like that.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is that close enough? Okay, so I've got 3.
No, I'm not giving you that.
Okay, fine. 2. What about... what's that guy, the new guy that's like everyone's all... Hey,
the Joker.
The Circle. No, not the Joker. Cool, if that works, then cool. Catwoman, the Penguin, and I don't know, the butler. What's his name?
Alfred, you can't even get your Marvel DC characters right.
Anyway, I think we've talked about tennis enough. People are wondering, when on earth are they going to go into that lovely little thing that we call the quiz?
The quiz!
That's right, it's quiz time, and... This week's quiz. Last week we had Samuel L. Jackson.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This week it's Cameron Diaz quiz.
Oh, so similar. No. Like often I get confused between Samuel Jackson and Cameron Diaz.
Oh, can I go back to the very beginning? Ted 2.
Yeah.
There's a character called Sam Jackson, and they go, "What's your middle name?" And that's Peter Griffin there.
That's a miss.
And she goes, I don't know, Leanne or whatever. And they go, "Your name's Sam L. Jackson? Your name's Sam L. Jackson?" She goes, "I've never heard of him." Now, that's not funny. Obviously, she's heard of him. It's funny that she's called Sam L. Jackson. Don't then say that she's never heard of him.
That is a weird joke.
Everyone's heard of him.
I know. Anyway.
Don't watch Ted 2.
No, he won't.
Well, back to the quiz.
We're going to start with Cameron Diaz.
Oh, that's okay. So good.
And
I used to have a huge crush on Cameron Diaz. I don't know if I should be allowed to do this quiz.
Wow.
Bad teacher Cameron Diaz or the mask Cameron Diaz?
Oh, the mask Cameron Diaz, let's be honest.
Yeah.
And also, even though it wasn't a great movie, Sweetest Thing, Cameron Diaz. She was quite pretty in there. Charlie's Angels, Cameron Diaz.
Oh, I used to love Charlie's Angels.
Yeah. The second one's not very good. It's like a bit of a Ted 2 situation, but with less cutaways.
Right, well, round one is as I said, Cameron Juan Diaz. And these are questions that relate to Cameron Diaz.
Okay.
They are facts about her.
Brilliant.
When I say
they
I
may be spurious facts, but they are facts.
Okay, when I say I was a fan and I had a crush on her, I don't think I'd be able to answer anything about her life because I was very young, and so my main thing of having a crush on her was that she was very pretty.
Okay.
So if you ask me about her eyelashes, maybe I'll get some
chime in.
Not going to help you.
Okay.
Question one. With which famous rapper did Cameron Diaz attend Long Beach Poly High School?
Tupac.
Hold on. There was a boing from Simon there.
Snoop Dogg a Dog.
Is the right answer.
Hey, you do know your Cameron Diaz. That's just because you're a big Snoop fan. There's a nice crossover happening here.
How did you know that?
Guess.
Oh, okay.
guess. You read it somewhere?
Question number two. What condition does Cameron suffer from? Yes.
Narcolepsy.
Is wrong.
Boom. Excessive prettiness.
Oh, that's why I'm not Cameron Diaz. You don't have to butter me up. Yes.
The other epilepsy, kleptomaniac.
No.
Boink. I think she might have something like maybe she's colorblind.
No. This is something that you would kind of you tend to say people in school might have.
ADD
is the right answer. Well done.
I was going to go for dyslexia. Is she not that as well? Let's just say she is. Give me a point.
No. Okay. Question three. Who is Cameron's acting idol?
Point.
Yes.
Eric Idle.
Is it?
No.
Elizabeth Taylor.
No.
Possibly.
But you're kind of getting to Minnelli. The right sort of person, like maybe.
Point. Marilyn Monroe.
No, not. Okay, wrong sort of person. You've gone too far.
Okay.
Point. Still alive.
Ooh. Point. Julie Andrews.
No.
Is it the other chick from Charlie's Angels, Drew Barrymore?
No.
That'd be weird.
Okay.
Not that she's not I'll that Drew's bad. I love my girl Drew.
I'll give you a clue.
Okay.
It's not Meryl Streep.
It's not Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
That's a great clue.
Boing, is it like Judi Dench or something?
No.
Is it
but a similar kind of sphere? I assume
you would assume.
So she's basically in the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel.
No.
Okay, because that's pretty much what they did with all of them.
Yeah.
Like, you're all old in this movie, please.
Okay. You guys taking too long. The clue is I think she was the queen.
Helen Mirren
is the right answer.
That's you do know that Judi Dench and Helen Mirren are the same person.
Oh, are they? I didn't
they're
know.
They're exactly the same person. They just have different names.
Well, she says that she likes Helen Mirren because she takes care of herself and is not trying to turn back the hands of time.
Ooh. And I constantly see quotes of her with F-bombs all over them.
Really?
Like if I could go back in time, I'd tell my younger self to tell everyone to go F themselves or something.
Wow.
And then Helen Mirren's face. I don't know if that's real or not, but apparently that's what the kind of thing she's been saying.
Round two is called Filming Good, although...
It's called what now?
It's called Filming Good.
Oh.
I haven't thought of a better name yet. I was going to go with Listless. Because it's sort of list related. Anyway, so this round, I have got four movie titles.
Okay. Yes.
All right. Three of which Cameron Diaz was involved in.
Yay, I love her.
One of which she was not. And you have to guess
Yay,
which one.
Okay, she's not involved in movies.
Okay.
How dare you? How dare you speak mean of my Cameron?
The stakes have never been higher.
Here's the list. Very Bad Things.
Mm-hmm.
The Last Supper.
Mm-hmm.
Head Above Water.
Mm-hmm.
School Days.
Can I come in on Head Above Water? That's the one I'm going for. Simon, what do you think?
I'll take the one that's not School Days or Head Above Water or Very Bad Things.
Okay, which one was
the
that?
One you can't remember is definitely the one that is in the movie.
Well, read the
you
list
just,
again.
You just read sense. The whole list.
No,
Very Bad Things. Yeah, the Last Supper. Head Above Water and School Days.
I'm saying The Last Supper. She's not in The Last Supper. She definitely is in Very Bad Things.
Well, you are both wrong. The answer was School Days. It's D-A-Z-E. Maybe that would have affected your decision.
No, that could be a film she would be in.
Yeah, that made me think
she was in Bad Teacher.
Honestly, I assumed it was spelled D-A-Z-E. I was like, it sounds like that kind of film.
I did try and say it with a Z.
Yeah, I heard that.
Ironically, School Days is actually a film that Samuel L. Jackson was in.
Hey! Oh,
very so clever.
Look out for a Cameron link in next week's quiz. Yeah.
So nobody gets points in that round. We're moving on to round three, which is finished.
Excuse me, I get like a half a point for knowing she's in Very Bad Things.
No, you get not. You get
I asserted my knowledge of my lover, and you're now just choosing to ignore it.
Moving on to round three, which is finish the quote.
Right.
Oh, I was going to say a question.
These are quotes that Cameron Diaz has said, apparently, according to the internet and whatever I found.
Yeah.
And the first one goes like this. I did all my heavy partying before...
Boing.
Simon.
The mask.
I'm sure she would have continued
before
afterwards.
Before I could drive?
No, but you're on the right track.
Boink, before Simon came into my life and swept me off my feet.
It's not that, is it?
It's not that, no.
Oh, okay.
Before I could fly.
Before I could fly?
Boink.
No.
Before I became a mother.
Weird and not right.
Well, that's not weird. You don't really get many partying mothers.
That's true.
It's like, Mom, what have you been up to? Tiger.
Yeah, he was speaking... on behalf of Cameron Diaz then.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I think you like just looked into Simon's eyes and went, that's weird. Why are you talking about being a mother?
The correct answer was, I did all my heavy partying before I turned 16.
Oh, come on. I basically got that.
Hello, Very Bad Things.
Right.
You see Very Bad Things?
Yeah, it was a very bad movie.
Isn't it Jeremy Piven or something?
It had that guy that's in Home Alone in. The guy that gets beaten up the Calvin. Most. the tall... the guy looks Daniel a bit like Stern. Your dad, actually.
Yeah.
And him in.
The second quote is, Greece is the only cure for...
Boing.
Yes.
Getting stuck on a slide.
Is it, Greece is the only cure for wanting to sing those songs from kind of musicals in the 50s?
No.
What I've cleverly done there is I've used Grease as the musical and not
I see.
What I assume you've done and said Grease, the kind of slimy substance.
Well, I actually think it might be what you think it is.
Grease is the only cure for the blues.
It's not that, no.
Is it Grease is the only cure for the euro? It's kind of socio-political statement like a prophetic that makes statement. No sense.
Well, if he thinks it's a musical, then it must be related to the musical, so... Boy, Greece is the only cure
for sadness
to make me respect John Travolta.
No, the correct answer is Greece is the only cure for a hangover.
That's, I hope it is Greece with a capital G.
It's what? Yeah, it is.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go.
Right, and the last quote is...
I did it in my trick, and there certainly was no cure for a hangover back then.
Right. The last quote is, you haven't partied until you've partied at dawn in complete silence with...
Samuel L. Jackson.
Nathaniel.
Nope, neither of those. You've got to think spiritual here.
Point Buddha.
Well, I'm going to give you the points because it's Buddhist monks.
Okay,
so that deserves the point.
That's close enough.
Yes, I think I'm actually finally got more points than Dylan. So let's not do the rest of the rounds.
Okay,
you have planned.
The round four
is
a distant relative, which is something loosely relating to the subject, which is Cameron Diaz.
Okay,
have we been talking about her?
And we have, surprisingly.
You should have called round three Cameron Threeaz.
Oh, amazing.
Points?
No. And so this subject is relating to the movie The Mask.
Okay.
So,
Simon based his character on this film.
Question one. How many movies had Cameron Diaz starred in before The Mask?
None.
Dylan. What?
None.
I was going to say none as well.
You're saying zero?
Yeah, I'm also saying zero.
Well, Dylan got in there first and is right.
No, but I knew it though as well.
He beeped first.
Come on. I mean, honestly.
Question two. How did they save money on special effects?
Point.
Yeah, Simon.
They didn't have any. All practical effects. Give me the point.
You're kind of close.
They did them by hand.
No.
Vague.
This has something to do with Jim Carrey.
Boing.
Yes.
Jim Carrey's face can stretch into a lot of those positions, so it saved them a lot of money.
You're right.
I'm going to give you the points because they
just painted his face, and that was the mask.
Well, yeah. So there are a lot of special effects, but a lot of the time his movement was so stretchy and cartoonish they didn't have
to. That movie really holds up. I just feel like I need to say that. I've got it on DVD. For like a pound at a fete when you and I were in the UK.
Yeah.
And I watched it not so long ago, and it's really funny. And the CG Well, you're saying there isn't much is actually great. How does he spin around that fast?
No, come on. There's obviously a lot of CG.
How does he pull those hammers out of his pockets?
Okay. You know
what's a pity about that film is that the sequel, The Man in the Iron Mask, wasn't nearly as funny.
Yeah.
That movie actually freaked me out. Like, I enjoyed it while I watched it, and then I had nightmares for months.
I don't know what we're talking about now.
The Mask or The Man in the Iron Mask?
Both, actually.
Oh, I also had nightmares from the big guy at the end of The Mask. I thought he was quite scary.
No, it was Jim Carrey's character.
What? He's a clown.
That crazy face really freaked me out. Anyway, question three, before I go into a meltdown. the yellow suit that the mask wears is based on what Jim Carrey wore the first time he did what?
Boink.
Yes.
Cuban dancing.
No.
Got married?
No. Yellow suit to get Boink. Married. Wow.
Well, it's Jim Carrey we're talking about.
It's the first time he was on Broadway, maybe?
No, you're getting closer.
First time he drove a car.
No.
What's with you driving cars this week?
Yeah. Oh, you mean... No.
I don't mean what you think okay. I mean. I meant what I said.
Boim, the first film he was in. Maybe in Living Colour. Maybe.
No, go back to the Broadway and it was sort of, you know...
And the first play he did in high school.
Similar, but yeah, funnier.
Points. Boim. The first funny play he did in high school.
What is he famous school? For? Guys, what did he do? Like lots of, you know,
impressions.
That was involved in
the first time he was a stand-up.
Here's the right answer. Well done. His mom made him that suit.
Sorry, he's not really famous for stand-up.
he's famous
for being that guy that is pretty much crazy in every single
Don't
film
be
he's
bitter
in.
That Dylan got the point. Right. The last question is how it's many
exclusively for Simon, and I'm just going to give him the point anyway.
I will say that
that's the end of the quiz.
I will say that you are tied at the moment. You're each on 9 points.
No, man, this means he's going to win.
Okay, so here we go. How many times did Cameron Diaz audition for the role of Tina in The Mask?
Point.
Simon.
Three times.
Is incorrect.
Twice.
Is incorrect.
Point.
Simon.
Four times?
Also wrong.
Once.
You're going the wrong way.
Point. She didn't audition.
Less.
She did.
Nine times.
You're still wrong.
Point 10 times. Point 11 times. No. Point 12 times.
Is the right answer.
Yes!
And I can reveal that Simon is the winner of the quiz.
It's good to end on one that you definitely knew.
I was just humble. I was just building my way. I just wanted to give Dylan a chance.
Yeah, thanks,
I knew
man.
It. Oh my gosh. I've won. This is the best.
He's such a humble winner, too.
No, seriously, so stuff you, Dylan. It's about time I won.
I've won one, and you've won one.
No, you used to, when we did this, you used to win them all. I feel like I'm printing myself out a certificate tonight when I get home. This is the best. Can I phone my mom quickly, actually? I should probably let her know. Hey, Sue, won the quiz. LOL. Sigh. Awesome. That's great.
Well done, Simon.
Did you win the quiz today?
No, I didn't win the quiz.
I thought you're not, because I won it. Well, Andrew, who won?
Simon won the quiz with 10 points to 9.
Sure.
To none, yes. 10 points, 10 points to none.
It's a whitewash.
Well, guys, you have sat through this nonsense for about 57-ish minutes, and I think you've earned yourself a treat. So instead of playing out with our usual song tonight, we're going to play out with the thing that's going to be released onto YouTube tomorrow, Banter Claws. From me, Simon, bye.
And from me,
And from me, serotonin.
Dear Santa, I'm trying to decide what biscuits to leave you at the fireplace this Christmas. There's just so many to choose from. Please let me know. Love, Timmy.
Dear Timothy, I never thought I'd say this, but don't leave me milk and cookies. I've changed my ways, it's time to update all the Christmas bookies. The truth is that I'd rather you leave milk and nuts instead. 'Cause Santa's changed his eating habits so he wouldn't end up dead. I went to the doctor, he said I should be wise. He didn't call me fat, but he did say I should downsize. He told me of a diet that would help me weigh far less, though he warned me it would make me an annoying dinner guest. You see, Santa's become a banter. I am now gluten-free. I'm avoiding carbs and sugar. Tim Nooks would be proud of me. And now I'll spread the word to anybody that I see. 'Cause us banters like to share our ways with everyone we meet. Hello! Would you like to hear about the good book? My ranger like it more, cause they've got a lighter load. The elves like it more, cause they can borrow my clothes. Chimneys like it more, cause the bricks don't ever crack. And Mrs. Claus likes it more, cause I'm better in the
Santa! Not in front of the kids!
What? Sack race? Santa's become a banter, no mince pies for me. No stuffing from the turkey, no potatoes, no honey. No Christmas cake, no Ferrero Rocher, nothing remotely sweet. On second thoughts, I've got a plan. Christmas is my cheat week. Bye!